It's 5 minutes with me.
Hey, friends. My name is Marco, and welcome to 5 minutes with Marco. Although today, once again, it's going to be a little over 5 minutes. Probably more like, let's call it 8 minutes with Marco. Maybe 8.5 minutes with Marco. Hope you can spare those extra few minutes. So this is part two of a two-part series on presence. I forgot what I was going to talk about for a second there. On presence in youth ministry. And in the last episode, go back and listen to it if you haven't, set up the idea that for a long time, we kind of fell into a place of being driven in youth ministry and particularly being program driven in youth ministry. And there are cultural reasons for this, but I have been saying for a long time now, I think it is in many ways, one of the ways you could name what's not working in youth ministry. Lots of good things happening, but this is one area where I think a lot of youth workers that I work with are struggling because there's this gravitational pull toward the way we've been doing things for the last, I don't know, 4 decades or so. So, and here I want to suggest now an alternative, which would be presence. When I was writing that book, Youth Ministry 3.0, way long time ago, I was creating a grid with a half dozen variables to show the comparative shifts from 1.0 to 2.0 and suggest what I was thinking might be 3.0. I knew early on that one of the variables I wanted to address was the issue of the driver, what was kind of behind the, what was pushing us in each of these epochs. And I had the wording for proclamation-driven and program-driven fairly early on for 1.0 and 2.0. But months into the process of fleshing out my thinking, I couldn't discern what the driver would be for the third era, the one that I believe we should be in now, in terms of a timeline we're in it, not necessarily in terms of a lot of our practice. I considered mission for a while, being mission-driven. And I landed up on that as one of the key values, which was a different variable in my grid. I considered community or communion for a while, but those also being added as a key value. And whatever words or concepts or vibes I had floating around in my pea brain were not translated into words. So I asked for help. I put the question out on my blog that I used to write for daily to the community of youth workers. And I think that that particular blog post resulted in some amazing dialogue, not discussion, which was rich and varied. And most of the comments suggested an alternative driver. None of them resonated with me. But a few people questioned the very paradigm of the question itself. And that's when it struck me. If a driver was ever culturally appropriate, if a driver was ever biblical, at the very least, being driven no longer fits. And to show my hand a bit more, I've become more and more convinced that being driven was always a mere cultural adaptation, copying, and not a worthwhile biblical construct. So if we're not being driven by something, then what? And that's when present struck me. You might even say that it was the very act of being present to this question that the notion of presence revealed its weightiness. Presence is the opposite of drivenness, not the other side of the coin. I'm becoming convinced that I cannot be simultaneously driven and present. I can be one or the other, but not both, not at the same time. You might say, wait a minute there, Mr. Semantics. Jesus was driven. In fact, Jesus did his fair share of driving. Well, let's look at that for a moment. Jesus drove out evil spirits. Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple. It seems like the only examples we have of Jesus and driving is when he was driving something bad out, not when he was himself being driven by something other than love. So why not say we should be driven by love? Maybe I'm just playing with words here. I don't think I am, but I'm open to being wrong. But I believe that the primary action of love is to be present, not to drive or push. Instead of saying we should be driven by love, it seems more accurate, and I'd suggest more biblical, to say love compels us to be present. So what is presence? Let me unpack this a little bit with an example from my own life. My young adult son, Max, is one of the true joys of my life. He's an amazing young man, sensitive and empathic and gentle and full of creativity and humor. Max used to regularly drive us nuts in his apparent inability to focus beyond the moment. He forgot what we asked him to do and was genuinely sad and sorry about that. He lost things, valuable things, all the time. He was easily distracted. This behavior was a challenge for Max's teachers, too. I remember several years ago when his teacher, a tender-hearted saint of a woman, a highly gifted teacher, reconfigured my entire view of Max's apparent lack of care for whatever goal seems pressing to all of us except for him. She and I were sharing in passing about some deadline he'd missed or item he'd misplaced, and she uttered this simple little insight into living. She said, "Well, we all have something to learn from Max about being present in every moment." And bam, that was it. Max, the awesome human that he is, isn't driven. And while this may be occasionally frustrating to a naturally driven guy like me, it might sometimes cause speed bumps in Max's journey. Speed bumps are there for a purpose, by the way, to slow us down. He still possesses a Jesus-y skill that I am so very far from attaining. Presence is all about living in the moment, soaking it in all its glory. Presence listens and watches. Presence honors others by focusing on them rather than on a to-do list or the person over their shoulder that you'd rather talk to. Presence waits for the spirit rather than rushing toward one's own goals. Presence relishes and sits in the tension and pays attention. Presence forfeits and postpones and stays. Presence models the incarnational approach of Jesus with us. And that, my friends, is what youth ministry is supposed to be about. At least that's what good youth ministry is about. Let's look at one story from the life of Jesus. It's one you're very familiar with and have likely taught on. It's the story of Martha and Mary. Luke 10, 38 through 42 says this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." There's a focused point here. Being present to Jesus is better than focusing on the stuff that needs to get done. But there's a broader way of living that Jesus is promoting, which he models with his own life, and as we see it in Scripture at least, being present is a better way to live. Being present is what we were designed for. In our driven youth ministry lives, there are many enemies of presence, but let's quickly look at three of them. The first is goal obsession. Goals have their place. I mean, for instance, if I didn't ever have any goals, I would stand no chance of getting my immense to-do list completed. But our churches, as a result, our youth ministries have become goal obsessed. This obsession is more of a reflection of the process of strategic planning being imported into the church than it is a reflection of biblical values. I heard an uncommon pastor refer to this once. He said that most of us have a destination view of life instead of a journey view of life. If all we focus on is the destination, we stand to completely miss out on the joy and the blessing of the journey. But if we live with the journey, all we think about is the next step, our next move toward Jesus, our next opportunity to embody and embrace love. Secondly, inflexibility. An unfortunate cousin to goal obsession is inflexibility. I regularly miss out on being present to others, present to Jesus, and present to the Spirit's nudging in my life because of my natural inflexibility. When I have a plan in place, it always feels like a significant and unacceptable compromise to readjust and redirect. But Jesus was the master of flexibility. Watch him on the extremely important and politically valuable way to heal the daughter of an important government official when he stops to have a life-altering conversation with the bleeding woman. Check him out when he stops teaching to address the faith of the dudes who lowered their friend through the hole in the roof on a mat. Over and over again, Jesus pushes the pause button and leans into flexibility in order to be present. Third, confidence. Confidence is a good thing, right? I mean, sure, when our confidence is in Christ, but confidence can easily turn on us and devour presence. When I'm sure I'm right and you're wrong, I forfeit the opportunity to be present. When I tighten the grip on my plan, my knowledge, my whatever, I rip myself off and I walk right past, charge on past, really, any hope of seeing God in another or sensing the presence of God or hearing the still, small, redirecting voice of God. No need to draw this out, as I'm sure by now this is very clear to you. Our calling is not about programs. Our calling is about people, particularly teenagers. And teenagers, being created in the image of God, are wired for belonging. Hear me on this. Teenagers do not experience belonging because of our wonderful programs. They experience belonging when someone is present to them. Then they get an appetizer for the belonging they can experience through the presence of Christ. And ultimately, isn't that what we long for? Isn't that what our calling is all about?
The Youth Cartel Podcast Network.